Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. Hello, paranormal peeps. I've still got a bit of a husky voice tonight, so I'm not going to talk for long. We've got an interview with Paramike and Patsy about our visit to the Haunted Museum in Stoke, so enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. So this week we have Paramike. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
And we have Patsy. Hi, Patsy.
Hi, Michaela.
So last weekend we went to the Haunted Museum at Stoke and we're just going to chat a bit about what happened and what we found out. So first of all, I'm just going to ask Mike and Patsy, how did you find out about the Haunted Hotel? Sorry, Haunted Museum, my goodness. Oops.
Do you want me to field this, Pats, or do you want to?
Yeah, go for it.
So I can't actually remember where I heard about it necessarily, but I know that he's been on like ITV and the owner, Craig, has been on ITV and stuff with his haunted dolls and other haunted items. So there was sort of a bit of a buzz about the place. And originally when we went, we went for sort of a mini holiday up to York and were then looking for somewhere to basically do a ghost hunt on the way back. And Patsy went, well, what about this place? Because we kind of already knew it and looked on Facebook and it looked suitably weird. And I sort of sucked my teeth and went, is it going to be a bit expensive? And Patsy went, nah, come on, let's just do it. So we ended up going for the first time just by ourselves. And had some crazy things happen, which we couldn't explain. And then subsequently, we've been back twice.
Fantastic. So what things happened the first time you went?
So the most significant one was we heard what sounded like movement upstairs while we were downstairs. So we were the only two, well, there was four people in the building, including Craig, the owner, and his partner. But they were in the office doing paperwork, so they weren't upstairs making any noise. And we basically heard what sounded like movement upstairs. And Patsy then uttered the fatal line of, if that's you upstairs, can you do it again, please? And there was sort of a period of nothing happening before I sort of sniggered or was about to say something when we heard an almighty bang come from upstairs, which we had a vibration sensor on the stairs as well, which it managed to set off. So whatever's made the bang upstairs, I guess, was physical enough to make the staircase vibrate that it set a device off as well, not just we've heard it and gone, oh my God. And we sort of jumped out of our skin and just stood there staring at each other for a couple of seconds going, what the fuck just happened? Because in the paranormal, it's super rare for anything like that to happen. And then sort of sheepishly went into the office and sort of went, Craig, can you rewind the CCTV for us? And he did. And yeah, it's on the CCTV. And he's like, yeah, it's caught it. It's caught it dead loud, in his words.
Wow. So was that really scary, Patsy? What did you think at that point?
Yeah, I found it very scary. Mike's a lot braver than I am, but at that point, because I mean, we'd been doing ghost hunting kind of activities for about 2 years by that point, and we'd never had anything so physical like that. And I generally get a bit more frightened than Mike anyway, but yeah, I was quite freaked out, and I didn't like the fact it was just the two of us either.
Yeah. So you didn't go charging up the stairs then to find out what it was?
Mike wanted to. I think if it was up to Mike, we would have done, but absolutely not. I was not going up there.
So what happened next then? Did you find anything else that night? Anything else happen?
We had some other weird moments. Nothing as sort of monumental as that, but when we were upstairs, we had an air pressure device go off. I think we heard a knock on one of the walls and as some of the lights flickered. Now that may not be paranormal, but according to Craig, the lights almost never flicker. And it was only when we were upstairs, so very quickly we were like, felt uneasy upstairs after what we'd heard with the bang and everything. Went downstairs and said to Craig and his partner, would you like to come upstairs and investigate with us? Because we had basically didn't want to be up there alone at this point. And then, yeah, I can't remember. I mean, Patsy could probably tell it better than I can when we were upstairs and she felt something touching her, I think.
I think that was the second time. That was the second time we went.
No, it was the first time.
Are you sure? Because I'm sure Dara was there. I do have vague memories of someone being there. But when we go places and we start calling out, we introduce ourselves, we often will say what you can and can't do. Or at least I do. Mike just says, do whatever, show yourself however you like. I don't mind. I'm a little bit more guarded than that. So I always say, we'd love for you to show yourselves, but please just don't touch me in any form. I don't like, you know, I don't want my hair pulled. I don't want to be poked or pushed or anything like that. And I'd said that when we went to the Stoke Haunted Museum. And then it was almost like it was again, like, I almost feel like it's messing around with me, trying to make me feel scared, make me feel a bit intimidated. But it was like it was sort of brushing my ankle. But it was only like after we'd said, don't touch, please don't. It sort of was, yeah, just messing with my ankle. And only very lightly, but, and it could have been a bug, could have been cobwebs, could have been dust, but it was just it's just a very strange place, so the atmosphere always makes you feel a bit on edge anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always a bit freaky when you get touched by something, because you're never quite sure whether it is happening or not, and you doubt yourself. And you think, did I just feel that?
Yeah, that's one of those things that I always sort of try and write off as, like, something's brushed past a hair or something on your arm or something. Like, I'll always try and, thinking it's paranormal was normally my last port of call, generally speaking, as well, because I don't like the idea of something paranormal actually touching me. So I go, yeah, no, that was a cobweb, or that was potentially an insect that's crawled over my arm or something, you know?
Yeah. I have had sort of things happen to me, but there's only one or two that I've really attributed to something paranormal, when I couldn't, you know, it couldn't be explained by anything else. It was, how could this be happening, sort of thing. But it is quite freaky. So this time we went and there were five of us. And do you want to talk us through, Mike, what we did when we went in and what sort of things Craig's got there?
So initially we went in and as Michaela says, there was five of us. There was us three and then my friends Dara and James. Initially I think everyone but me sort of went for a walk around while I was setting up equipment for the YouTube and everything else, and got the sort of lowdown by some of the stuff that Craig's got in there. I'm not entirely sure how much we can actually talk about, because I know there's certain bits and pieces that he doesn't want out on the internet, mainly due to the fact that people who are associated with those artifacts still have relatives that are alive. So he doesn't want to go spreading stories and it being seen as maybe a little bit insensitive. But a couple of things we can talk about is he's got the original door from 30 East Drive in the corner where it basically got damaged and then was donated to the museum. He's got some of Ed and Lorraine Warren's personal effects, so glasses and scarves and things like that. He's got a whole bunch of dolls, which, haunted or not, dolls are always kind of creepy. He's just got all manner of stuff, to be honest with you, that's weird and wonderful. And it's all documented, apparently, and all got, majority of it's got some sort of link with death or being cursed or something weird about it.
Yeah, and he's got artifacts from all over the world, hasn't he? As well, you know, all sorts of kind of death masks and artifacts from Africa and everywhere. It's really jam-packed full.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's only a portion of the stuff he's got as well, because I know he tends to rotate it every now and again. just to, in his words, give some of it a rest.
Yeah. And so when you go in, there's a room, there's two rooms downstairs, there's the seance room, and then there's a kind of a main room with lots of chairs and artifacts in. And are we allowed to talk about the paintings?
I think so.
Yeah. So he's got some of the original Crying Boy paintings, the ones that are attributed to people's houses burning down. They're said to be cursed because the painter would basically sort of emotionally and physically torture the children to make them cry, which I didn't know before. And then he would paint them crying, which is why obviously he's a very talented painter, but not a very nice man. And I remember there's one there that my nana actually had in our house when I was growing up, which was quite freaky, because I'd only seen the other ones before. And when I saw it, I thought, oh my God, my nana had that in our house. But luckily, it didn't burn out. and then upstairs, there's another room with lots of artifacts in. And then there's a room that's done out like a chapel. And then there's a very, very spooky room called the Asylum, which is very bare. And that was the room that I found really scary.
I think there's a lot to it because, as you say, where it's very bare bones, there's no electricity in there. It's sort of got a, and Patsy loves this term, sort of a liminal space vibe.
Yeah.
Where it's just somewhere that sort of exists, not somewhere that you'd spend a lot of time in.
Yeah. How did you feel in there, Patsy?
Yeah, no, it's I don't know. I don't pick up on many vibes, to be honest. I'm not got any abilities or anything psychic about me. So I just pick up on how it actually feels physically, and it's cold in there and it's dark in there. There's no electricity, so it's not a very welcoming room, not a lot of furniture, very bare bones, as you say, no wallpaper. The flooring is probably original or at least very old. So yeah. It's not a room we've ever spent much time in. Every time we've been there, and this is the third time now that we've been, we never really spend much time in there. And I don't think people we go with never want to be in there either.
Yeah, it's got quite a negative feeling about it.
Yeah, the second time we went, I know me and Ash from Pursuit of the Paranormal podcast did a lone vigil in there. And when I went and spoke to Ash after he did his and we sort of swapped places, he said he was at a point where he was about to say, okay, I'm done, because he was starting to feel really uneasy. And then when it was my turn in there, I was basically too scared to actually do any calling out. So I just sort of sat there in the dark and in the sort of wheelchair, just like, yeah, just
pretending
like, I don't,
you weren't there.
Yeah, just, I was observing. But yeah, in reality, I was sat in a dark room too scared to actually call out or anything. I was like, I'm just going to see if anything happens. And at one point, one of the battery packs off my cameras fell and hit the floor and made an almighty bang. And I shit myself. And then I can hear the guys downstairs going, Mike, are you okay? And running upstairs immediately. I was like, it's fine. It's fine. It's natural.
I must admit, when I went in there, I had the really weird sensation that, and I'm only just trying to sort of discover whether I have any psychic abilities, based on the basis that that most people do have some sort of intuition or something like that. I've been doing some sort of practicing and meditation and things like that to see whether I can open myself up to things. And when I was in there, it felt like what people have described when a spirit's trying to sort of enter them. So my legs, the bottoms of my legs went completely sort of pins and needles. And my back went cold and the backs of my arms went cold. And I have this thing that I call my spidey senses, which is down the back of my neck. When I feel like I can sense something, it goes all tingly and pins and needles in. And the whole lot went off. And it actually felt like somebody was stood really close behind me. And maybe what I imagine it might be like if a spirit's trying to kind of get into you. And so in my mind, I was going, get back, get back, get out, get out. And I didn't really want to say anything because I thought, I don't want to be one of those people who pretends to have psychic experiences when I've got no evidence to show that I can do anything. But it was really freaky. I didn't like it. And I had sort of made my mind up that I'd like to go back in there later, but then I kind of wussed out and didn't.
It's like a very imposing room. Everyone feels that way. Like, I do the tour and go in there, but after that, I feel no desire to go back in there. And I feel like a lot of people will do it once, maybe. Very few people are brave enough. And obviously, we've had an experience on a previous visit where someone who was doing a lone vigil up there was tied to a chair. And unfortunately, our communications with them were cut off without us realizing. And they were stuck up there. So it's a really unpleasant room, and some weird things do happen in there.
Yeah, I have to say that person must be very brave to do that, because I think I'd be freaking out.
Yeah, to add more context, they were doing a distance Estes method like we were doing as well. But Helen, the person who did it, for some reason wanted to be strapped into sort of, I don't even know what it is, some weird wooden chair they've got up there that you can get strapped into. She wanted to be strapped into that while she did the Estes method. And we could hear her breathing through the phone, but couldn't hear her saying anything. So we thought, oh, it's all okay. She's just not getting anything. And then someone went upstairs to check on her about 10 minutes afterwards, and she said within 2 minutes of being in the chair, she felt like something touched her or stroked her face, and immediately started saying, all right, pull me out. I don't want to be up here by myself anymore. Come get me. Which we didn't hear over the phone whatsoever. So we left this poor woman up there accidentally for another 10 minutes while she was feeling like something was stroking her or touching her. And we're none the wiser because we didn't hear it come across the phone when, yeah, like there's been a weird blip on the phone, and then she didn't hear it.
That's horrible.
It was, yeah, we felt absolutely terrible, to be fair.
Yeah. So we had two unexplainable incidents, really. One that kept going on and off all the night. And then another one when we did the remote Estes method later. So do one of you want to, or both of you want to say, what we had first of all with the weird equipment thing?
Yeah, so it was almost as if there was a REM pod somewhere in the building that was on, and something along the lines of the temperature kept getting tripped. Because we were all upstairs initially, and then we heard the beeping of a REM pod, and we've all stopped and gone, oh, that's a REM pod, that's a device downstairs. So generally speaking, we took all of our equipment upstairs with us that we'd set up. So all the equipment we'd set up was in the room with us. None of that was going off, and this device was definitely coming from downstairs. And it went off about two or three times before we went, okay, let's go downstairs and check out what's happening. And for about an hour, hour and a half, it would periodically go off. And my God, could we not find a REM pod? Could not find
one. And the owner of the building said, all of us were searching. It was very comical. It was something that was Scooby-Doo. There were people running upstairs because they thought it was coming from upstairs. There's people going to the left, people going to the right. We all had it coming from a different place. It was so weird. And we agreed in the end that it was coming from the table where myself and Michaela were actually sat. So we looked under the table. On top of the table was a Ouija board, nothing else. We had equipment, but none of it REM pods on the table. It was really bizarre. We still to this day don't know what that was or where it was coming from.
Yeah, it sounded like it was coming from the table. By the end of it going off, we'd switched all of our equipment off to rule that out. And as Patsy says, it sounded like it was coming from the table, but we couldn't actually pinpoint where it was, because wherever it would trigger, it was almost as if it was in stereo. And it's not like we could pinpoint where it was, as we were downstairs at one point and we started thinking it was coming from upstairs all of a sudden. So Craig, the owner, goes upstairs, and then he's immediately like, no, that's downstairs, that is. We just could not find it. And it's just, it's definitely a REM pod switched off somewhere. I don't think it's paranormal in the sense that it's like a phantom REM pod noise caused by a ghost or something like that.
You see,
But
well,
the
I'm not sure about that because we were all stood downstairs and we said, right, next time it comes on, because it was coming on intermittently every few minutes. And we said, next time it comes on, everybody point to where you can hear it coming from. And we all pointed in different directions. And then when we sort of narrowed it down to the middle of this table that had nothing there that could make that noise, which was really weird. But then it started coming through, was it the phone or the voice recorder?
Spirit box, we think, but I'm not
Yeah, it was
entirely sure
coming
if that
through. We
was
heard
just
it through the
radio
spirit
noise.
box, but
No,
it was the
I was
same
coming through
noise
the
though.
box. It was, yeah. That was quite freaky that it was coming through there as well, and it was continuous. And we did have the spirit box on at a later point in the night, and we didn't hear it then, so.
Like a lot of this stuff, I'm always more inclined to lean on the skeptical side of things and think it's something naturally weird. As I say, I don't think it's anything paranormal necessarily. I think it's just a device that we couldn't find, and it drove us up the bloody walls trying to find it.
See, this is
But
gonna
yeah, the
my
spirit
opposing view
box
would
was
be that it
weird.
moved. Yeah, and the noise moved. We couldn't, if it was we went 5 to 10 minutes, and at first, every time it went off, it was somewhere different in the room.
Yeah.
That's what I can't understand. It did sound like a physical device. Absolutely, completely agree. It was equipment noise, but the fact that it kept moving, and obviously none of us were moving anything. We were all in one place. We'd all got all our equipment out methodically, and there was people in the room looking with us, and it was definitely moving from place to place. Really bizarre.
Yeah. So then we did the remote Estes method. So I went upstairs with my phone, and everybody else was in the seance room. And it was quite funny because I thought that Dara was doing the Estes method. So I was telling the spirits to prod Dara, and then it turned out it was Mike that had the earphones on, and I thought Dara must have been sat there going, why is she trying to make it touch me? What have I done wrong? So then I was trying to get it to sort of say things to Mike, and we had some good responses, but the really weird thing was that it sounded like somebody was speaking behind me, didn't it?
It did. That there was something in the room with you that made a noise. Mike disagrees with me on this, but I, because he had obviously the headphones on at that point, so he just had the spirit box. But myself, Dara, and a few other people in the room were listening to Michaela, but we could definitely hear another noise or voice that wasn't you, and that was in the room with you though. But you didn't hear it, is the interesting thing. You didn't hear anything.
No, I didn't. Nothing.
Um,
Nothing. Really bizarre. Go on,
as
Mike.
uh, as Patsy says, we are going to disagree because Patsy seems to think it's a voice or something like that. From reviewing the footage and also where the locked off was upstairs in the room that you're in, I can't fully rule out that it may have been like a piece of your clothing as you moved after you moved the phone from in front of your mouth up to next to your ear or the other way around. So that's the only thing for me that I'm like, oh, there's a little bit of deniability here. I can't fully say that it's a man going, ooh, or something like that.
Oh, it did sound like that to me.
It
Absolutely.
did.
Yeah.
It did. And it only happened once. And we were doing the Estes method for what, like 10 minutes at least, 15 minutes maybe. It was
Yeah.
a while. And then we didn't hear this either before or after. It was just this one, we couldn't hear any of the background noise. So I personally, I don't know, it was very convincing to me, I'll say, but I'm
Yeah.
here to believe these things.
It did. It sounded like somebody leaned over my shoulder and said something into the phone.
But we can't, none of us can agree on what it sounds like, though. I think it sounds like a man saying something, but it's cut off halfway through.
Yeah, it's like the beginning of the F word to me.
Yeah, a lot of people think, I showed it to my parents. They also thought it sounded like the word, so
Yeah.
it was a bit, yeah, it's either like a, it's a very short word, either one syllable, Or it's like a cut-off word, or maybe even an O sound.
Yeah.
It's really short.
And was there anything else that happened? I can't think. What else there was?
It's one of these semi-frustrating slash weird things that upon reviewing footage for the video coming out on Easter Sunday, it would appear that we actually picked up a lot more than we realized
Oh,
in the
good.
moment. So there's a point where we're all downstairs and someone says about knocking on something and we hear a knock on one of the walls. And I think we all kind of thought that that was it. There's one or two knocks.
Yeah.
My locked off camera's got more than just two knocks, and at one point it sounds like there's three footsteps across the floor upstairs. There is also a point where I think we're all downstairs quiet, so you can't hear like our voices saying anything or a low murmur. And again, upstairs, there's very, very faintly the sound of what. So, and you're going to chastise me for this after you've said about the phone thing, but very faintly it sounds like a man's voice going, or something like that.
There you go.
What a
And it,
coincidence.
it's I don't think it's any of us, because when we talk, the microphone on my camera is quite powerful upstairs, and whenever we talk, you can plainly tell that it's us talking.
Yeah.
This is so faint. I don't, if one of us did it downstairs, I don't think it would be able to pick it up. And it doesn't sound like any of us going, Well, there's like two noises about 10 seconds between each other. Again, it's in the video when that comes out,
And that's
but
very similar to the noise that we heard when Michaela was on the phone. Very similar.
So perhaps there was a man lurking around up there.
I will, yeah, I mean, I don't want to try and convince anyone either way. All I'll say is watch the video and decide for yourself, because unless people are actually there, you can't really say
Just
what's
to
what, right?
confirm, obviously the building, the way the layout is that no one could have been there in that room, right? If we're not in
No.
there, because there's only one way in and there's only one way out
Well, the other
of the
thing as well
window.
is it. The only other thing you could possibly say is that maybe it's Craig in his office. But there were moments when he was talking and we could tell it was him talking, so it doesn't even sound like that. And again, it's not a long conversation like he's having with his partner or muffled or anything. It's literally just a quick sort of sound.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. I'll look forward to seeing that. I've looked through my photographs and I can't see anything. There was a lot of light pollution because my camera picks up lots of different light spectrums, and it doesn't like the infrared on the cameras.
No.
So whenever I take pictures and there's an infrared camera there, it kind of distorts it and puts weird circles in the picture. And so you can't really tell if there was something there or not, really.
It's like a lens flare, isn't it? Because where it can see infrared light, all you see is like a bright white light wherever the camera is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. But I've got to review all of the EVP footage yet. So if I find anything extra, then I'll let you know and send it over to you.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be wicked.
Sadly, it does. When I don't know about you, you've probably got lots of special computer equipment that you'll be able to see things really quickly on, but I have to do it the old-fashioned way. So if you're in an investigation for 4 hours, I have to sit there and listen to 4 hours of EVP stuff in order to be able to tell if anything happened.
Is absolutely no different for me. Like, as much as I love a locked off camera because of the amount of stuff they tend to capture, sitting through hours and hours of locked off camera footage with a notepad and a pen and noting down all the, like, at 3 minutes 59, there's a weird sound here, and then
Yeah.
having to like go back through, chop that all up and work out what's maybe worth having, or what I can work out is us or something. Yeah, like I don't blame you. Like, it's no easier
Yeah.
for me with the amount of footage that we capture that I have
Yeah,
to go through.
I have to say, if there's any budding paranormal investigators out there, it is certainly 95% being patient and bored, and 5% of excitement if you're lucky. Because it is all about sitting quietly in a room, listening, And then going back home and listening to the sitting quietly in a room for the same amount of time again. But occasionally you do get rewarding things.
As I say, though, like I've just said about our trip to Stoke, on the night it felt like it was a relatively quiet night and not a lot happened. Now, I don't know if that's because we've been spoiled being there before and it was actually a somewhat active night compared to some of the places we've been where literally nothing happens. But it's not until I get home and I start looking at the footage and go, whoa, what the hell? Like those footsteps are way clearer on the camera I've got upstairs, or the sounds of what sound like a man huffing or whatever. The only way we've picked or I've picked them up is through that locked off camera up the stairs that we're nowhere near. So sometimes it can be quite cool when you find a moment like that and go, oh my God, what have I caught here?
So what, tell us a bit about, are we allowed to mention the next investigation that we want to do?
It's no secret. We've mentioned it before on a live.
Okay, tell us about it then.
I'm not going to give the exact date because we don't want any people turning up and gate crashing us. But
Yeah.
in April, me, Michaela, Ash from Pursuit of Paranormal, and some people he knows are all heading up to my haunted hotel in Chester.
Yay.
For oh, I say me, Michaela, and Patsy because Patsy's sort of the other half
Say
of
apparently,
Paramike.
I didn't know I wasn't going. I'll be there too, I hope.
That hotel you booked, that's just for me, Pat. But yes, we're all going up to my haunted hotel. Hopefully it's an active night. I know, Michaela, you've been twice and you've said it's sort of 50-50 or maybe three times now, actually, isn't it?
Three times, and the first one was the most active, the second one was a bit, and the third one was really quiet.
Yeah, and it's I'm hoping for it, like you can never predict it, but I'm hoping for a bit more of an active night.
We're looking to scare Patsy, basically.
Oh, she's gonna hate it because she's never watched the show or anything, so she has no concept of what the hotel looks like upstairs or anything.
Or is it? Is it really gringy?
Little bit.
They've just done it out. Brett's done it out really well, so that even if nothing happens, it's still quite scary.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I think it's a private hire jobber as well, so it's not like we're going on a public event. It will just be Ash and whoever Ash, as I say, aforementioned us, Ash and whoever else he's invited, and we've got the place to ourselves.
I'm really looking forward to that because I've always had to share it with other people. And it's nice, it'll be nice to be with people where you're all agreeing on what you're going to do without people kind of blundering about, which is always quite annoying when people
Yeah,
are.
absolutely. We've had it before when we've been on public events and tried to do some filming during the free hour, and the amount of times like someone else of the general public who's on the event will wander in and just be like, oh, sorry. Well, you're trying to investigate when you're like, oh, come on. But what can you really expect on a public event, I suppose?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they are what they are. Sometimes you get things, but I've been on a few, and there was one that I went on, and it was a most haunted event, and it was really good, but there were too many people there. There were about 30 people, and so where whatever room you were in, you couldn't get rid of the noise pollution because there were people in the next room going, "Is there anybody there?" And you're thinking, "Well, you just shut up, because I can't hear anything."
Was it an actual most haunted event that you investigate, or was it one of the ones where they sit you in the room and stick you in front of the telly while they all go off and investigate?
No, it was an actual one with the people from the show,
Okay.
and it was really good. But I know, people have to make a living and things, but I would have much preferred to have, a quarter of the people there. It was almost spoiled by the fact that there were too many people there.
Yeah, no, I get you.
But and then there's another. Are we allowed to talk about the one that we're trying to organise in the future, maybe July, June?
Absolutely can, because nothing's happened with it yet. So,
Okay, well, tell us about that then.
Sir Craig at the Stoke Haunted Museum actually has a second location he calls the Museum of Horrors. Now it's primarily a scare attraction, so think like a scare maze a la Alton Towers or something like that. He seemed very proud when I was talking to him on Saturday that it's, the, in his words, the most extreme scare maze in the UK, which...
Me off, to be honest.
It sounds horrific.
Heart attack on a stick.
Yeah. Me and Patsy have got a funny story about this. We watched a ton of scare mazes on YouTube from the Universal ones where they do it in America every year. And we hyped ourselves up and went, oh, they look really cool. We'll have to go and do one of those. Yeah, that looks great. We went to Warwick Castle, did a scare maze afterwards.
And there's a quite tame as well. There's a super tame level.
It's aimed at kids. But yeah, we went to Warwick Castle at Halloween one year, did a scare maze, and came out and were like, yeah, we don't really like scare mazes. They're not really for us, actually.
No, I don't think I like that.
No, I don't. And I mean, I have to say that as a, you know, a paranormal investigator, loads of things have happened. And I kind of usually pride myself on not being scared easily. I love watching horror films, but the thought of somebody trying to make me jump on purpose really doesn't appeal to me that much somehow.
Agree with you. I love horror movies. I never get scared watching a horror movie. I can sit through anything, but I don't like the idea of things. Yeah, trying to make you jump. It's the shock. I don't like to be shocked. Yeah. Don't like people doing that.
Yeah. So we're hopefully going to try and organise some sort of investigation there, which will be really good.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, from what he's been telling me, is apparently quite active as well, and it's a new location to try. As I say, when he was telling me about the scare maze, I was like, there is absolutely no way in hell that I want to be involved in that whatsoever. Because, say, we went to Warwick Castle one and got scared of that one, for God's sake, rather than one where, in Craig's words, he's looking at it and being a bit concerned and being like, is this borderline illegal? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You've got anyone who wants to be absolutely terrified, go to the, what's it called? The House of Horrors?
Museum of Horrors in Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah.
You have to sign a waiver, apparently, before you go in. And I don't think it's one of those cursory, ooh, let's sign a waiver to make it seem spooky. I think you have to sign a waiver so you don't sue him if anything gets a bit dodgy.
So if you are super brave, then get down there. But yeah. Not my cup of tea, but I don't want to, you know, put anybody off going. But it's just not for me. Not for being made to jump and absolutely shitting myself. No, thank you.
No, there's, from what he's telling me, there's people that even Craig himself, he's like, I wouldn't do it. But there's people that and he's the owner and like curator of it, and he's like, there's people that absolutely love it. And you see him, you see him. Photos on Facebook at the end where they're in like I think he was saying it was a real electric chair over the weekend.
He did say something about that.
I'm sure there's a photo up there where there's people sat in an electric chair of all the scare actors around him in fucking pig masks and dressed up as creepy nurses, and they're covered in like blood and viscera and all sorts of stuff as well, and it's just like, oh my god, like,
yeah, that sounds like something that Brett from the Haunted Hotel would like.
Yeah,
stick a roller coaster in there and it'll be off.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, we've got that. I'm sure there's another couple of events that we're trying to organize as well.
Yeah, I'd still like to go to Delamere Forest as well.
I don't think Patsy'd be up for that because she hates forest or anything else. Outdoors.
I don't want to do it during the day. I like the idea of doing the forest ones because there's a lot of interesting outdoor places that we have investigated. That one, I think it was the other one, Pastor Woods or Parsonage Woods.
Minster Level Ruins we've done.
It's just at night they take on a whole new concept, don't they? A whole new feeling.
Yeah.
It's like a real life scare maze at night, I imagine, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And to be honest, when I'm in a forest, it's not really ghosts and things like that scare me. It's the idea of creepy men hiding behind trees.
Yeah. I'm going to say the same thing. It's the people that frighten me more. I wouldn't be too worried about a ghost, but if a person jumped out, I would be terrified.
Oh, dear. Right, well, that was really cool. I'm going to have to whiz off in a minute because I want to get this episode out tonight. to the howling fans that are waiting for the Paranormal or What podcast that should have come out last night. That was wicked. Thank you so much for coming on and sparing time to come and chat about the museum. And I'll definitely like to have you both on again, maybe after we've been to the hotel. And
yeah,
next...
we'll definitely work out a bumper episode with Ash as well if he's
yeah,
he's around. Yeah,
we could do a collaboration and put it out on all of our podcast platforms.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would be really good. And I'm hopefully, well, it's penciled in that I'm going to be interviewing Dan Amos next week and hopefully Brett and Harry as well about their new venture in America, My Haunted Manor. So don't hold your
very
breath.
Exciting. Yeah, very exciting stuff.
So for now, thank you very much. And I'll say goodbye and see you later to Paramike and Patsy. Thanks very much. See you soon.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
And thank you very much to Mike and Patsy for that chat. And we'll be back with a new show next week with Danny Moss from My Haunted Hotel and My Haunted Manor. So don't forget to send any of your stories in to paranormalorwhatpodcast@outlook.com. And I'll see you next week. Take care, everyone. Night.